And it's good to be back. And praise the Lord, my wife and her sister are at their last class for biblical counseling. And the Lord's really blessed with that. And the Lord's really using it. And next year, Lord willing, we'll have it up at our place for 5 years. And then eventually we're going to start one in our church. We're buying 26 and a half acres right next door to us at our church. And I'll say this too, next Sunday, this Sunday coming up, I got to get back. I got Brother Doug Fisher coming in, Brother Roscoe. It is my 3rd year anniversary of being there in Messina. And so what a blessing. Been there 3 years. And we just got our new sign up. Excited about that. It lights up, amen. And as soon as it gets dark, it lights up. And man, it's a blessing. And so to have that, and also the property and the Lord the Lord's been good to us. We got a small church. It's crazy. Our church Sunday school. I got so many people in Sunday school. It's a blessing. Our Sunday school runs between 45 and 50 people. Sunday school, and it ain't all kids, and there's about 10 to 12 of them are kids, and then they have about, 6 or 7 teenagers, and the rest are all adults, mom and dads, grandmas and grandpas, and then Sunday morning runs between 50 to 65, and that's been a blessing, seeing people saved, and then Sunday nights have been running 35, 40, and then Wednesday nights have been running about 25, 35, and that's a blessing to me. These folks want to come back, keep on hearing me. I told them, I said, I don't know why you do. And but they do. They're enjoying it, and they're growing, and it's a blessing. And they don't know, folks, they do not know anything of the stuff. They've been up there in the North Country where it's been dead, and so they think I'm crazy and just shouting and stuff like that, and they're not used to all that. But I thank the Lord for my church and the things that the Lord is doing and revealing to me and what he wants me to do there in Messina, New York, and it's growing, and we thank the Lord what the Lord's been doing. And it was crazy. Dad talked about that note being up there. Lately, we've been finding money. Somebody's been stuffing money in between our door. It went from 40 to 60 to 100 and something to the next 100 and something. I'm waiting for the thousands. Amen. I told them, I don't care. They ain't coming to church, but they're tithing. I like it. Amen. And the pastor, we found money again. It's crazy, so I don't know who was doing it. With everybody playing Pokemon and coming on our property, my soul, I'm surprised they ain't stole it yet. But praise the Lord. It's been good. It's been good. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity. But y'all pray about us buying that property. It's a big opportunity there. And it's on the main strip there, but there's a lot that goes to it. And we'll be building a school there, but it's going to be 5 or 6 years from now. There's a lot of work and stuff that I have to do and my wife has to do to be able to build that. But it's going to be, I told Dad, it's going to be out-of-the-box kind of school. It's not going to be a school where you come and you spend a certain amount of time. If you need to come, it's only for a week. It's a week long. And you come and learn, and you go home, and you apply it. Then you come back and do how many every years it takes you to do your schooling. And so it's going to be in all kinds of different areas and different things. So it's a little bit different. But it's me. I can't stay still. I'm like my dad. I can't stay still. So I told the Lord when he told me he wanted me to train people, I was like, Lord, I can't do that. I can't just stay still. And so the idea came up of being a week long or maybe 2 weeks throughout the year where somebody would come and they get training and then they go back. Home and then use it. Then you won't lose your people, number one, because a lot of kids that go to Bible school, they come back, they'll never come back to their home church. And also, it's not going to be for kids. It's going to be for people that are been in the ministry and they need help. Because we're dealing with, listen, let me tell you something. We're dealing with a generation that preaching is not the only thing that's going to help them. It's going to be sitting down and applying the Word of God to their life and showing them in depth the things of God. Because what we say from here only goes so far. But when it's one-on-one and somebody's opened the Bible, and you say, what is that? The Bible calls it discipleship. Yeah. And we've lost that. Amen. And we have a whole generation, man, we get excited. We have preaching and stuff that it only can help you so much. But when people sat down with me and taught me out of the Word of God, and I begin to study and learn how to study my own, that's when I begin to grow. And so I want to be able to help people and help churches. So if you're a pastor, my dad says, hey, listen, so-and-so's been faithful for so many years here, and they need a little bit of help. I ain't got the time to do it with all the things that I got going on. I'm going to send them up there for a week, and when we put you up, we'll have a building and put you in, and then and you go to your classes, and then you come back, and then you'll apply the things that you were taught. Because much is given, much is required. As soon as you get it, God will give you the people that you need to help. And so that's right now. It could go off course, but that's what the Lord's been showing me and showing my wife too and things, and the Lord's been blessing. And we're excited about that and what the Lord's going to do. But like I said, it's going to be some years. It might be 6-7 years before we get it all up running full blast the way I would like to see it run. But it'll be a blessing. So praise the Lord. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel. Just giving you a little bit of my vision, giving you a little, being a hometown boy from here, just let you know what the Lord's doing. Fired up and excited about what the Lord's doing. My dad set up the message tonight. But go hold your place in 1 Samuel 15, but I want you to go to Psalms 84, and I'm going to have to hurry through here. I know it's a Wednesday night. Many of you got to go to work and things, and I want to be a blessing to you tonight. The Lord laid this on my heart when my dad asked me to preach, and the Lord recently just gave me this message. I was at a youth meeting that me and another gentleman, we preach in New York. He preached fall, I preached springtime. I was there, and he had said something there, and the Lord opened my eyes to this and hopefully be a blessing to you. Look at Psalms 84. That's where we're going to start out. Psalms 84, look at verse 5 of Psalms 84. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. Now, I was here last time I preached about wells. I preach about how there's people that have passed on, that left some wells. Your preacher's left you a well and gives you the well, and how you have the well inside of you. But I wanted you to notice in this passage here that it says the valley. The valley. Now listen, when I got the call, when my dad called me as soon as the accident happened, I thought, my soul, Lord, faith has been in a valley. Every time I walk in, the first time I walked in, and after Brother Keith had passed away, I took my phone out. I was so happy to see that picture. I took a picture of it. Listen, I've been here before. I remember when Chelsea passed away, Pop-Up Sage, and Mrs. Khan's husband died all in the same month. I remember when your boy was in the hospital, and I went and seen him from the four-wheeler accident. Listen, I remember staying at the hospital with Jeff as Jeff died, a young boy that used to be in the youth at our church and died in the hospital with Michael Moore. I remember the valleys. I remember the ones when, listen, the economy went down and many of us had lost our jobs and we lost our homes and we lost things. I remember those valleys. And listen, you might not want to believe it or not, but you're in a valley. Losing Brother George, you're in a valley. Listen, let me say this. Not only with just these troubles and problems and things of death or maybe a divorce or whatever the case may be, it might not just be that as a valley. I went through a valley last week. Hey, things are going great, Brother John, but I went through a valley. It was a spiritual thing. Like my dad was saying, you're going through things, and I'm happy over here with this family, and I'm weeping with this family, getting ready to take their son and put him in a boy's home that's cutting himself, and then rejoicing over the one of their son getting saved. So we don't know. Everybody has different valleys. Brother Mike was up at the men's retreat, and we talked about his brother dying in the valley that he was in. A valley. But let me say something about the valley. It's really not as bad as we think it is.
Yeah, right.
Because this verse says that there was a well in the valley. There's a well that could be in the valley. Listen, the valley can go a couple different ways, and I'm getting ready to show you that. Listen, the valley could be a place where you go through. I'm not saying it isn't easy or it's not hard. But I'll tell you what, that's where we learn.
Yeah.
That's where the flowers grow. Not just on the mountaintops, but in our valleys. Hey, listen, when we're walking through that valley, it's when God begins to show up and when he begins to meet with us and begins to do some things and he begins to say, hey, take a drink here and walk you through the valley. And we begin to grow and we get stronger and then the next valley gets a little bit easier. Listen, hey, listen, it is a hard thing going through valleys, but we know, hey, listen, I went through that valley. Don't be like the children of Israel and forget the miracles of God. Oh my soul, you read about it. And he said, how can you just forget what God just did? But we do. But we do. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. You with me? Say amen.
Amen.
The valleys of life. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul was told by Samuel that he needed to go down and take care of the Amalekite. He said he needs you to go down and take care of the Amalekites. But I want you to look at verse 5. In verse 1 through 3, he tells them you need to go do this and you need to hearken unto the word of the Lord because God anointed you to be king. Now remember, God, if you're saved here tonight, God's anointed you with his Holy Spirit, amen. And you're saved and we should obey God's word. You agree with that? And he tells them to go down there and he says, I want you to wipe out everybody. He said, not just this person and that person. He said, I want everybody wiped out. But I want you to see in verse 5, it says in Samuel 15, verse 5, it says, and Saul came to the city of the Amalekite and said, and laid wait in the what? Valley. Huh. I never saw that there. He was in the valley. And he laid wait in that valley. Look at verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites. I keep on saying Amalekites, Malachites. I'm going to call them the Amalekites. Let's get it straight here. The Amalekites. Look what it says down in verse 8. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the best of the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good. It would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. He said, what happened? Saul didn't obey God. But Saul was in a valley. He said, no, he wasn't in the valley. Oh, yeah, he was in the valley. The Bible says he was there. And Saul was in this valley, and he got something happened in the valley. You know what happened to Saul in the valley? He stopped moving. He laid wait. Listen, when you're in the valley, you can't stop moving. There's dangers in the valley. You got to keep moving. And when he stopped moving, he saw some things that he said, man, you know what? God said to take care of them. Man, if I just kill them and take this. That's what happens when you get in the valley. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. Listen, if I were you, I wouldn't wait in no valley. I got to be moving. You say, why? Mountaintop's on the other side. You wait in the valley too long, there's some things going to happen to you. Now look at this. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, the children of Israel get out of Egypt here. And God's given them manna from heaven. They get thirsty. And so they begin to chide against Moses. And they get in chiding, you know what that means? It means words of anger in uttering these words and blaming Moses and blaming God that they took him out of Egypt. But I want you to see something here. And look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. And he called the name of the place Manasseh. And God bless this word, amen, the next word, because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord and said, is the Lord among us or not? You say, well, preacher, where were they? They were in a valley. You say, why do you say that? Listen, they were thirsty. It was a dry place. And listen, they forgot how powerful God was, and they were in a valley. And you say, how do you know that? Because if you read the rest of the chapter, Aaron and Hur get up on the mountain there when Moses and hold his hands up as he begins to pray and hold the rod of God while Joshua's in the valley fighting the enemy. Verse 8, and then came the Amalekites. You know what I want you to see this tonight is that the Amalekites dwell in the valley. Now let me explain something about the Amalekites real quick. The word means this, dweller in a valley. Everybody go to Numbers chapter 14. Go to Numbers chapter 14. You say, well, that's what it means. Well, let me show you something. Let me show you what the Bible says, Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, look at verse 25. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelled in the what?
Valley.
Do you realize that the Amalekites are a type of our flesh? That's what they are. You study your Bible out and you study where the Amalekites come from. Hey, listen, it's a type of our flesh. His great-grandfather is Esau. Sold his birthright to his brother because what he wanted. You know what I want to preach to you tonight about? Amalekites are in the valley. The Amalekites are in the valley. You say, what's that? Your flesh. If you're not careful, listen, church, if you're not careful when you're going through the valley, that flesh, just like Saul, when they waited, he began to say, you know what? It's a little easier if I don't kill them, but I'll take this. Right. Hey, let me tell you something. Amalekites are in the valley. They're all over the valley, and you better be watching side to side. You say, why? Because they'll take you out. The Amalekites are in the valley. You know what they want to do? They want to destroy you.
Yeah, right.
It's that stinking flesh.
Yeah.
It's that friend that you thought was a friend.
Right.
Amnon. Hey, listen, when you're going through a trial, you better watch out for the Amalekites.
Yeah.
Boy, you get in one of those spiritual valleys. You don't want to read your Bibles. Hey, he's talking to you. Don't read your Bible. Hey, listen, you get in one of those valleys and you don't want to go to church. It's that flesh is talking to you.
Amen.
He reared his head up again. You say, who's that? The Amalekites. He's in the valley. And you better watch out. Listen, you're on the spiritual high from revival. You're on the spiritual high from whatever meeting you come from or this meeting you just did. Hey, the Amalekites are right around the corner.
Yeah.
Somebody going to discourage you. And it's going to be in the valley. When you're walking through that valley, he's going to show up and he wants to tear you down. You know what happened to Saul? He disobeyed God. As soon as you get in that valley and you wait around, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to disobey God. You say, why? Because the Amalekites showed up. And they talk to you, and look, and then you begin to chide against God, and you begin to complain, why did I deserve this? Because I did this, and I did that. And you begin to say, God, well, I don't want to do that no more because you don't do this for me no more. You say, what's that? It's the stinking flesh. And when he shows up, you better fight that boy. Take him out. Say, no, I know I'm in the valley, but I know my Savior's with me. And God, would you help me from my own stinking self? It's called the Amalekites. They're dangerous. And that's why God told Saul to get rid of them all. He didn't want them to have to fight against them. But you know what happened with Joshua? When Joshua was fighting there in Exodus, the Bible says that God says, listen, you will fight with them the rest of your life. Yeah. Look at the end of the chapter. That's what he tells them. He said, you'll have war with them from generation to generation. Do you think if we don't teach our young people how, when we're in the valley, how to kill the Amalekites?
Right,
how are they going to win? How are they going to go through their valleys and win?
Amen.
We got to teach them and show them there is victory in Jesus.
Yeah.
Not just sit here and lip it and sing it, but mean it, hallelujah. When somebody gets saved, yeah, it is victory.
Amen.
You say, why? The flesh is getting put down, saying he is the Savior, and I am a sinner, and I do need Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. The Amalekites are in the valley. Don't let them take you out.
Amen.
I've been around too long to know. And watch them, because they disobeyed. Number one, they disobeyed God. Boy, Saul disobeyed God when God said, listen, I want you to go kill all the Amalekites. And he waited in the valley. Don't you wait in the valley.
Yeah.
Don't you disobey God. Teenagers, don't you disobey your parents. Because when you disobey your parents, you're disobeying God. Saul gets his power stripped from him, and the Spirit of God departs from him. Boy, I'm glad I'm in the New Testament, because I know the Spirit of God doesn't depart from me.
Yeah.
But I know I can grieve him.
Right. Yeah.
You ever grieve the Holy Spirit of God?
Oh, yeah.
Because that flesh, the Amalekite, they come in and talk to you into not doing what you're supposed to do as a Christian.
That's right. Yeah.
During your valley. You know what happens? Not only that you disobey him, but then you become defeated.
That's right.
You say, how do you know that? Look at chapter 17. Hey, look, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. He said, how do you know that you get defeated? Let me show you. The Amalekites are in the valley. The Amalekites, whoever, Lord, man, Lord, help me, because I always say it wrong. I don't know why. God, help me. I get it in my head and say it over and over, and I always say it wrong. That's the dyslexia, David. There you go. That was for Brother David. Amen. He says, Brother David told me one day when I was a youth pastor, he said, Brother Samson, you blame everything on the dyslexia. I said, yeah, if it gets me out of trouble, I will. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Rough crowd. 1 Samuel chapter 17, disobedience. We find in chapter 15, but look at chapter 17. Look at verse 2. And Saul and all the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched in the what? Here Saul as his second valley. Saul's at his second valley, and Saul should have been the man to go out and fight the giant. But because of the first valley with the Amalekites, now he's defeated. Because of his disobedience, he's defeated. He can't even fight. Listen, I've seen it over and over. I watched him go through a valley and disobey God and come to church. Then the second valley come around. And they will not go out and fight for what's right anymore. And this little boy David has to come along. Listen, you know what's crazy, Dad? It's their children that come up and end up fighting the giants in the family's life. Because daddy and mama disobeyed God in the first valley because of that old flesh. And here's the second valley. Hey, listen, some of you are in this valley and you're stuck in this valley because your fleshly things have gotten to you. You know, the Bible says to exercise holiness. When's the last time you've exercised your holiness? We don't exercise it no more. Be holy as I am holy, we use that. But do you realize you got to exercise that? It's not just saying it.
Amen.
Listen, folks, I look on, I got Twitter. Our church has Facebook. And we have, my wife has Instagram, all this. I'm amazed at all the Bible-believing Christians that put their filth on that junk. It burns me up. I'm saying we're supposed to be different than the world. But the problem is they disobeyed in the valley, and their flesh got a hold of them. And listen, we talked about that new church started in Middletown and the ones in Smyrna. Hey, listen, I don't understand. Those churches, we're starting to do those things. Just come Sunday morning. Jesus will take us as I am. No commitment. What about exercising holiness?
Amen.
But you're so defeated because you disobeyed the first valley. The second valley, you can't even fight the giant. And so it's okay for your kids to do this. It's okay for you to do this. It's okay for the country music. It's okay for the tights with the t-shirt. It's okay with this. It's okay to miss Sunday school. It's okay to miss Wednesday night. And the flesh had got a hold of you.
That's right. Amen.
Amalekites in the valley. He's always going to come when you're sore. He's always going to come when you're heartbroken. He's always going to show up when you're hurting. He's always going to show up when you're crying. That old flesh. Well, why ain't the preacher called me? Why ain't the preacher done this? The old Amalekites. We find Saul defeated because he disobeyed. Saul will not fight. Saul did not know how to use the valley. But you know what was great? David knew how to use the valley.
Amen. Amen.
You ever think about that? The Bible says, you know, the mountaintops of rivers come down through that valley. And David knew where those rivers were.
Yeah.
And he got 5 stones.
Yeah.
But he also knew how to use the momentum of the hill when he ran. See, we don't know how to use the valleys. You say, why? Because we disobeyed on the other one. See, every time you go through a valley and you do it right, you learn how to use the valley against the enemy.
Amen.
You say, sucker, you ain't taking me down. I've been here before.
Amen.
And I'm not going to let you do this to me again.
Yeah.
No,
amen.
The Bible says cast down every evil imagination. I've been here before. I'm casting those things down. No, I'm turning the computer off. No, I'm not watching that no more. No, I'm going to dress right. No, I've been here before, and I know how to use my valley against the enemy. And David got down there, and he'd been in the valley before, and he got his rocks, and he put them in his pouch, not because he had 4 brothers. He just said, if I miss, I'm going to kill them anyways, and I'm going to have 4 other chances. Hallelujah. He know what he did? He didn't go cocky. He went prepared. He's not half cocked. He knew how good of a shot he was, but he knew how bad a shot he was too. Because listen, your enemy's never the same. Sometimes they're smaller. Sometimes they're bigger. Sometimes they're many. I'm not talking about boys. You preach, you get 1 verse. Boy, I got the world. No, you better get some more. You better, after you get done preaching and the Holy Spirit of God moves on your preaching. Hey, listen, I've watched God move and I get relaxed at church afterwards. And the next week, and I said, man, I got this one. And the next one goes, whoa. Yeah. Say, why? Because I didn't study like I should.
Yeah.
And I watched God say, boy, you better get prepared.
Amen.
You better make your well deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, we get a victory and we think we're great. Uh-uh. You better go get more rocks.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And not only that we find them disobedient and defeated, we find them dead. Go to 1 Samuel 31. 1 Samuel 31. Unbelievable. He said, what are we fighting? You're fighting your flesh. Listen, we like to blame the world. And listen, the world, Paul talks about the world all the time. And the world is the one that gets our flesh going. It does. And then we want to blame the devil all the time, but he's the one just saying, okay, world, you do this, you do that. But listen, it's our flesh that we're battling. We're all here, ain't perfect. But when we go through our valleys, that's when the flesh begins to rear its head. The Amalekites in the valley. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, look at chapter 31, verse 7, it says, and when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley, and they that were on the other side of Jordan saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities. See, they're fighting the Philistines. And here's Saul in his third valley, and we find him dead. Listen, I've been in this church. How long? When I leave, I'm getting ready to turn 40 this year. Been there 3 years, 37, 30-some years. I can't do the math, but 37 years I've been in this church, and I've watched them at every valley, and now they're dead. Now, listen, I'm not saying physically. There were some that was physical, but I'm talking about spiritual. I rode by some of their houses as I came in and began to pray for them. I think about them often. Some I use in illustrations. And I think about them, it's that third valley that gets them.
Yeah.
And here's Saul fighting the Philistines. He ain't even fighting the Amalekites. Because the Amalekites, all they want to do is they want to start something. And the Philistines, and the Bible says that Saul took out his spear and he killed himself, and he tells his sword bearer to do it, and the sword bearer kills his own self. Find them dead. Why are they sitting here? Brother David, where are they? Why Wednesday nights? I remember the ones that used to sit in places. I still see their faces. I'm not talking about the ones that went off and did something for the Lord. I'm talking about the ones that died spiritually. They're not here. Their third valley. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 1. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from slaughtering who? The Amalekites. David was taking care of business. So David gets back, and we ain't got time to read it, but when David gets back, you know what happens with David? David gets back and this gentleman comes and he brings the crown of King Saul and he says, my Lord, he's trying to do something there, and I've heard a couple different ways this can go. But he says, listen, I seen Saul and he asked me to kill him and I killed him. And the Bible says, I want you to look at it. Now remember, Saul's in the valley. The Bible says this, look at verse 8. And he said unto me, who art thou? David's asking, who art you? Who art thou? He said, I killed Saul. I have his crown. Look what he says. And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. Now I've heard preachers say an Amalekite killed him. I've heard other preachers say this. No, that guy was lying just to try to get to David. But I say this, either way, the Amalekites are claiming the death of Saul. It started in the first valley.
Yeah.
Now let me see. Let me say, you say, well, I'm in church, preacher. I'm faithful. Yeah, but you could be dead sitting here. You can be spiritually dead. Why? Because that flesh, boy, is a killer. Preacher said, man, we can do more here, but we need more people. You know why you ain't being picked? Because your flesh has killed you spiritually. Me and my wife, we're growing, and I'm looking for people to put in, and there's people been in my church and have been there, and I can't put those folks in. Been there from before I even came. One's all the way in, the other one's all the way out. Listen, I have two men I can make deacons right now, but I won't do it because their wives don't fit the bill. Ain't faithful. I won't have no deacons until one comes that fits the bill. Amen. I don't care if you like it or not, but that Bible tells me and gives you descriptions of what people should be. And God, hey, listen, God wants to use somebody faithful. Faithful. Listen, I don't care if you have the best ideas. I don't care if you're the best at it. I'll get somebody that's not as good at it, long as they're faithful. And then on top of being faithful, they're exercising holiness. Amen, amen, amen. You say, why? Because it will kill a church. I want to be like Christ. I'm not saying to be perfect. I'm not saying throw out a list and this is what you got to do. I'm just saying it's the motive of the heart. Motive of the heart. You know what we see? We see Saul dying in the third valley because he let the Amalekites get a hold of him when he was supposed to get a hold of them. I want you to go to one more verse, Psalms 23. We use this verse when people pass away, when people die, to comfort somebody's heart, and it's a great passage to use. Psalms 23. In Psalms 23, it says this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in verse 4, Psalms 23, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. There's three words in here that start with T, that I'm going to give you, and I'm going to show you something. Yea, though. You know what that word though means? I'm going to go through it no matter what. Yeah. You know what that word though means? It says, it means in spite of the fact, I'm still going to have to go through the valleys.
Yes, sir.
Do you realize that this isn't the only valley you're going to go through? Yeah. Do you realize there's going to be more valleys?
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot more valleys. Yea, though I walk through, not wait, but through. If you're ever going to get through the valley, you got to go through it. There's mountains on both sides, and you got to get to them. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, let me say something to you. We use this because of people passing away. But if you know anything about Israel, Israel has a literal valley called the Valley of the Shadow of Death.
Yeah.
I heard a story about a preacher that went over to Israel, and he watched these shepherds as they went through this valley. Somebody took them and said, listen, remember reading in Psalms 23? The valley of the shadow of death, I want to take you to it. The preacher was like, there is a valley. He said, yes, it is. And when you get there, you see this valley, and they got these little shrubs and thorns, and it is a very thick place to go through, he said. He said, I watch this shepherd because they have to go through it. He said, but one thing, I noticed a lot of things that the sheep were spread out and eating as the shepherd kept on leading them and kept on going. And as soon as the trail got really narrow, where thorns and bushes on this side, they couldn't go nowhere, he said, I watched those sheep get real close together. Amen. Listen, folks, if there's ever a time that we need to get close together, it's in the valley.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
He said, I watched them as they got close together. Hey, listen, I watch families go through valleys and they never get close.
Yeah.
But boy, when you go through a valley, you should get close together.
Amen.
You say, why? You need each other.
Yeah.
Put aside all your little, they do this or do that. Listen, you go through a valley, you better stick together.
Yeah.
Because it's dangerous in the valley.
Yeah.
Young people, you better stick together. The youth groups better stick together. You say, why? Because it's dangerous in the valley.
Yeah. Sir.
He said, I watched it. They go through the valley. He said that shepherd had his rod and his staff. He would push the thorns out of the way and let them sheep go through. And he'd go up in front of them. And some of them, they have a little bush that come over there. He said he'd take that rod. He said, listen. He said, listen, the rod wasn't for to beat the sheep, excuse me. Everybody laugh. Because some of y'all beat your kids. But it wasn't for that. It was to guide his sheep. That's what the staff was for. The rod was to, hey, hit them on the back end to make them. He said he took that thing, he'd lift up their front legs, and he'd put them over that bush, and he'd take the back legs and pick them up, and he's looking the whole time. He said, why? There was wild animals in there. There were snakes in there. They're trying to kill those sheep. But it says, though, you're going to go through them. I walk through, you got to go through them. But I like the last part. For thou.
Yeah.
Let me say it again. For thou.
Amen.
For thou. For thou art with me. Who's with you? Who's he talking about? I know what he's talking about. I know when I look through that. For thou art with me. And thy rod and your staff, it comforts me. You say where? In the valley. You say, why do you come to church? To be comforted. Why do you read your Bible? To be comforted. It's the rod and the staff that the Savior has when you go through a valley.
Yeah. Amen.
You say, why? Because he's with us.
Yeah.
But we seem to forget.
Yeah.
We get away, as some sheep do, away from the shepherd, away from the congregation. To ride that narrow path. They want to ride the thick path. Hey, listen, the way of the transgressor is hard. Don't you ever let anybody say, get up in front. I heard a youth pastor get up and say at a meeting one time. He said, young people, hey, listen to this, young people. He said, listen, the Christian life is hard. You liar. No, it's not. The Bible doesn't say that. Show me Bible where it says the Christian life is hard. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. He said, thy rod and thy staff, it comforts me because thou art with me. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm glad I don't have to pull out of a God out of a closet. I'm glad I don't have to go in a booth and tell some other man. I'm glad I got a God that's down deep inside of me, as wicked as I am, as vile as I am, as wicked as I go, in the wrong ways I go, and he corrects me, and he loves me. Boy, hallelujah. Thou art with me. Boy, you need to say it sometimes when you get discouraged and your flesh gets on you. Thou art with me. You're with me, God. Help me, Father. Help me to walk the straight and narrow. God, please, because you're with me.
Yeah.
Boy, we forget how powerful our God is. I'm here to tell you tonight that in your valley, we got the greatest God. Yeah, listen, I am distraught a little bit thinking how Hillary could get in and ruin this country. And if you picked her, you're a loser. Hallelujah. I'll just tell you that right now. You say, why are you bringing politics? But listen, I'm telling you, the White House ain't going to save us. Hey, listen, the politics ain't going to help us. Hillary is never going to do what she needs to do to help us. And neither is Trump or the third party. But I tell you, thou art with me. He's with us tonight. Whatever comes our way after November 8th, I know one thing. My God is with us. And when you're going through your valleys, don't you ever forget who your God is. That when you were hungry, he gave you manna. When you were thirsty, he opened a rock and gave you a well. He gave you a well out of the rock, a water, a drink. Maybe it was a Tex-Mex message from somebody. Maybe it was something. I don't know about you tonight, but I'd get on this altar tonight and say, God, I want to thank you that you're my thou. You're my thou. You're with me through my valleys. Why don't you stand? You're my thou. You're the one that when I do wrong, you're with me. You're the thou. I'm a nothing. But boy, you put your spirit inside of me. Listen, when my daddy called me crying about the boys getting in an accident, all I could think is, God, you're with those boys. They've been serving you. And whatever you choose to do in their little valley that they're going through or their big valley, whatever the answer is, thou art with them. You're with those boys. And boy, it's a blessing to hear that at the accident scene, there was tracks all over the place. Pick up those tracks, Earl. That's what I heard. Pick up those tracks, Earl, because little Earl needs them. Hallelujah. You know what she was saying? He's alive because God is with him. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but we need to get more personal with God and say, God, you're real to me. Make yourself real to me. Listen, I'm up in Canada. That's where I am pretty much, right? In Canada, ain't got no Mexican food there. They ain't got things I like there. They ain't got the stores I like. But I know God's with me. We ain't got family there, Brother Mike. But God's with me. Boy, as much as we miss family, as much as we miss some of that nice food, as some of we miss some of those stores, me and my wife look at us and we say we're glad God's with us. Because he's with us. Through the hard times, through the good times, through the valleys of our life. God help us, Lord, when that flesh, the Amalekites, get around trying to discourage us on the things that we're going through a trial or a problem. Father, that you begin to move in. God, that you don't let us get to a place where we let that flesh take control and we disobey your word. And leave our post. But God, that we go to the next valley and kill the giant and be the David, not be discouraged. And God, that we'd be alive when the brethren find us and not spiritually dead in the next valley. God, what a shame it was for those men standing on the other side of the valley to see their leader gone and have to run. God, I thank you for the valleys. I don't like the valleys, but I thank you for them because they help us to learn how to fight in the valley. They help us grow. God, thank you. We love you. Praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.